This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Propax Gold with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am your host, Layla Mutin. I'm a nutritionist, I'm a dietitian, and I'm located in Midtown, 635 Madison Avenue, 14th floor. If you'd like to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. I'm also available via telephone and telemedicine. Same phone number, 212-779-1744. If you'd like to email me with a question or a topic of interest that you'd like to hear me talk about on this podcast, radioprogram@aol.com is the email. That is radioprogram@aol.com. Now, I've got an email here from Carolyn. Thank you, Carolyn, for writing me. She's got a question. Hi, Layla. I recently had a nasty attack of acute diverticulitis. I didn't know I had this condition. And as I rarely eat red meat, and I have a diet high in nuts, seeds, and berries. In fact, for 2 weeks before I had this attack, I was adding organic blackberries to my morning shake, which has, you know, as you know, a great deal of little pits. So, after treatment with antibiotics and living on baby food, I'm feeling much better. Carolyn says, I also took probiotics. I was wondering if I can now add salad and some raw vegetables like carrots or celery. I was told to avoid cruciferous vegetables, so I feel very limited. What about blueberries? I'm avoiding all the fruits with pits like raspberries, strawberries, blackberries. She means seeds, really. Seeds are what we're talking about with all the berries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries. When I research the foods for diverticulitis, the various diets contradict each other, so it's quite confusing. Any help you can offer would be greatly appreciated. So, Carolyn had an attack of acute diverticulitis. Let's dive into what this is, diverticulitis. You've heard of diverticulosis, right? Diverticula are small bulging pouches that can form in the lining of the digestive tract, and most often they are found in the lower part of the large intestine, right? Diverticula are common, and especially after age 40, and for most people, they don't cause any problems. And the presence of diverticula is known as diverticulosis. Now, when one or more of the pouches become inflamed, and in some cases infected, that condition is known as diverticulitis. This is what Carolyn experienced. Now, diverticulitis can cause severe abdominal pain, fever, nausea, and a marked change in bowel habits. Now, mild diverticulitis can be treated with rest, changes in your diet, and antibiotics. However, severe or recurring diverticulitis may require surgery. Carolyn had an acute attack of diverticulitis. It was not mild. So, what are the symptoms? The signs and symptoms of diverticulitis include pain, which may be constant and persist for several days. The lower left side of the abdomen is the usual side of the pain. Sometimes, however, the right side of the abdomen is more painful. Other symptoms include abdominal tenderness, nausea and vomiting, fever, constipation, or less commonly, diarrhea. So when do you need to call your doctor? Get medical attention anytime you have constant unexplained abdominal pain, particularly if you also have fever and constipation or diarrhea. So, the causes. Diverticula usually develop when naturally weak places in your colon give way under pressure. And this causes kind of like marble-sized pouches to protrude through the colon wall. Now, why can this happen? This can happen from straining, from constipation, from pressure in that large bowel, from a low-fiber diet, from the constipation that may ensue. And I'm talking about lifelong habits like that can cause the diverticula to develop. Now, diverticulitis, which is what Carolyn had, occurs when diverticula tear, resulting in inflammation and, in some cases, infection. Hence, those symptoms that I just described. So, several factors may increase risk of developing diverticulitis. Aging. The incidence of diverticulitis increases with age. Most people over the age of 40, really over the age of 50, have some amount of diverticulosis. And that is no symptoms at all. They simply exist, right? It's diverticulitis that's problematic. What other risk factors increase risk of developing diverticulitis? Obesity. Being seriously overweight increases the odds of developing diverticulitis. Smoking. People who smoke cigarettes are more likely than non-smokers to experience diverticulitis. A lack of exercise. Here's the wake-up call, people, to exercise more, because vigorous exercise appears to lower risk of diverticulitis. Diets low in fiber. A low-fiber diet seems to increase risk, although the role of low-fiber alone isn't clear. It can be clear. When you eat a low-fiber diet, it's possible that your bowel movements are more sluggish, slower, stool is harder to pass. This all creates pressure in the large intestines that can cause the marble-like pouches to develop in the colon. That's from pressure. So, what else are risk factors for developing diverticulitis? Certain medications. Several drugs are associated with an increased risk of diverticulitis, including steroids, opioids. Opioids will really make you constipated. And non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, the NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, such as in Motrin, Advil, and naproxen sodium, such as in Aleve. Let's talk about complications. About 25% of people with acute diverticulitis develop complications which may include an abscess, which occurs when pus collects in the pouch, a blockage in the bowel caused by scarring, an abnormal passageway, this is called a fistula, between sections of bowel or the bowel and other organs. Peritonitis, now this is serious, which can occur if the infected or inflamed pouch ruptures, spilling intestinal contents into the abdominal cavity. Peritonitis is a medical emergency, requires immediate care. So how do we prevent diverticulitis? You want to exercise regularly, and because exercise can help to promote normal bowel function and reduces the pressure inside the colon. So try to exercise at least 30 minutes on most days of the week. Eat more fiber. A high fiber diet decreases the risk of diverticulitis. Fiber-rich foods such as fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains soften waste material and help it pass more quickly through your colon. Now get this, and this is according to the Mayo Clinic. Eating seeds and nuts isn't associated with developing diverticulitis. Did you hear that, Carolyn? Eating seeds and nuts is not associated with developing diverticulitis, and this is according to the Mayo Clinic. And I'm going to elaborate on that in a moment. Drink plenty of fluids. Fiber works by absorbing water and increasing the soft, bulky waste in your colon. But if you don't drink enough liquid to replace what's absorbed, fiber can be constipating. And of course, don't smoke. Now, Carolyn, in my experience, in my patients with diverticulitis and who tended to have more than that initial attack, they were having more than two attacks, say a year, they most benefited by implementing the specific carbohydrate diet. It's called the specific carbohydrate diet, also known as the Gottschall diet, the late Elaine Gottschall, who developed the diet, in a book called Breaking the Vicious Cycle. Breaking the Vicious Cycle. Now, the specific carbohydrate diet most often is a therapeutic diet for inflammatory bowel disease, such as Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, ulcerative proctitis, even intractable diarrhea. But it is also very beneficial for diverticulitis. The handful of patients I have on this diet are doing excellently with no reported acute cases of diverticulitis anymore, as long as they remain on the diet. Again, let me repeat. The book is called Breaking the Vicious Cycle. It's by Elaine Gottschall. And it's the specific carbohydrate diet. You can duck, duck, go any of these terms. And the website is breakingthevicious cycle.info. That's breakingthevicious cycle.info. There's a whole community there. Most of those folks are on this diet for inflammatory bowel disease and other matters, even for such things as candida. Now, having said that, and coming back to what Mayo Clinic was saying, that eating nuts and seeds is not a problem, the standard mainstream advice for anyone that has experienced diverticulitis is stay away from things that can get trapped in those pouches, like the seeds and the blackberries and the strawberries and the blueberries, right? The seeds, pits, things like that. Nuts and seeds, right? But on the specific carbohydrate diet, you're eating plenty of nuts and seeds. And all of those fruits that contain pits, that contain seeds, little seeds, all of those. And those who have had acute diverticulitis more than one time, several times over, those who have even had surgery, a colon resection. That's a truck going by. Hang on. There it goes. Even those who have had a colon resection due to the damage caused by diverticulitis, when they embark on the specific carbohydrate diet, and I mean completely 100% compliance, because this is what this diet requires in order for you to reach its therapeutic potential, to get its therapeutic potential, requires 100% compliance, has been extremely effective. I would say over 90% of the cases, that effective. I've had patients tell me, well, after all this time, I strayed on the diet, I had a sandwich. And guess what? My left side of my abdomen started to hurt. I knew my symptoms were coming back. I immediately went back on the specific carbohydrate diet, started to feel better. I didn't have to call my doctor and take yet another round of antibiotics. That's how therapeutic the specific carbohydrate diet can be. So, Carolyn, think about that. Think about that. And I thank you for emailing me your question. And again, the email is radioprogram@AOL.com. Moving on to another question, and this is from Erwin. Erwin, thank you for this email. He writes, Layla, for those who do not drink any alcohol, including wine, can they get resveratrol from 100% grape juice with no added sugar? What about pomegranate juice? This is a great question. Resveratrol is a very important antioxidant. It's found in dark berries, like blueberries. It's found in the skin of grapes, Now, the trouble with 100% grape juice with no added sugar, the grape skins are what contain the resveratrol, hence it confers its benefit to wine. You'd have to drink a whole lot of wine, number one, to get the resveratrol. And we don't want anybody to do that, and especially for people who don't drink any wine or any alcohol. For those of you who are teetotalers, stay teetotalers. I would never recommend anybody who does not drink to start drinking. I would prefer you take a resveratrol supplement to get the benefits of all that resveratrol. You would have to drink too much wine, number one. You would have to eat a whole lot of grapes, grape skins. And the trouble with juice, any juice, even 100% juice, that's still a whole lot of sugar. And it's called fructose. You drink enough juice, that's a lot of fructose that can cause fatty liver, high triglycerides, all of that. All of these undesirable things, if you do it enough for long enough. So we'd like to avoid that. And he says, what about pomegranate juice? Pomegranate, not so much. It may contain small amounts of resveratrol, but here, again, grape skins, I would say eat grapes, eat the dark berries. Raw cocoa, raw cacao has some resveratrol, and so do pistachios. What are the benefits of resveratrol? It's been touted as an important antioxidant for anti-aging, for cancer prevention, and it also may confer benefits for brain health, mental health, brain health, and it may confer benefits to those with blood sugar issues, diabetes. It doesn't take care of blood sugar issues, but it's an important antioxidant, along with all the others, like mixed tocotrienols, tocopherols, vitamin E, I'm talking about vitamin C, selenium, zinc, all of those. So resveratrol is very beneficial. Besides eating berries, some grapes, pistachios, definitely take a resveratrol supplement. Erwin, thank you very much for that very, very thoughtful question. So things to think about. Eat a lot of colors in your diet to get all the beneficial antioxidants like resveratrol. I mentioned the berries, the skin of grapes, and all different color grapes. The red, the black, you know, the purple, the green, or called the white seedless grapes. Have a variety of those. don't eat a whole lot of grapes, and so certainly don't eat so, don't drink so much grape juice because it's too much fructose. I'd rather you eat the fruit. And you know what's really nice, especially in summertime, with the grapes and the berries, you can put them in the freezer and pop one or two in your mouth as you walk by the fridge if you're looking for something. If you want to nosh on a little something, a couple of frozen blueberries in your mouth, a couple of frozen raspberries, a grape, something like that, very beneficial. Aim to get at least 5 colors a day from all of your produce to ensure that you're getting enough vitamins, minerals, nutrients, polyphenols, antioxidants, all of the above. In addition to a well-balanced diet with enough fiber, with enough protein, and with enough beneficial fats. I want to thank you for these questions, Carolyn and Irwin. And again, the email is radioprogram@AOL.com. Thanks for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.